The views expressed in the following program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent those of the Key Biscayne Independent or Miami Fourth Estate. Portions were pre-recorded.
And again, I think I'm a
Florida, this is Antisocial, the podcast that gets into and looks for the silver lining in the logic of news, at least whenever we can. I'm Tony Winton.
I'm John Pacenti. You know, silver is falling as we're talking right now, the price of silver.
Well, and more good news. Just keep it rolling. That fits with the whole theme of this show because the topic of this show is... it involves a line from the Queen of England, if you can believe it. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's been pretty crazy in Key Biscayne. We had, at the beginning of the year, revelation of an arrest by the FBI of a local attorney. And then, in more recently, just a week ago, a tragic death of a beloved tutor on the island in a collision that involves an e-bike. So both of those events... sad and stirring a lot of emotion in Key Biscayne.
Yes, the island is certainly on edge. The police are getting reports of suspicious individuals on a constant basis because parents are thinking that their kids are in danger with these reports, you know, of a gymnastic teacher, a former gymnastic teacher who was accused of untoward behavior and pretty serious sexual allegations. He, of course, denies all wrongdoing.
Right. And so all of this has been happening since really the beginning of the year, since it started New Year's Eve, as I recall, right. The phone call between you and I. So reporting these stories. And then we learned today, if it could get even more topsy-turvy politically, not that it's related to anything, the former mayor, Mike Davey of Key Biscayne, has decided that he's going to run for U.S. Congress and hopes to challenge Representative Maria Elvira Salazar. He has to win a primary first, but that will, again, be in more we're guaranteed to see more tension politically, as if we already had a presidential election and the mayor of Key Biscayne up for that job is also up and three seats in the village council. So it's 2024 is going to be pretty bumpy.
Yeah, I told Davey, I said, you need to check with us on the schedule. You know, we have a lot of news to cover right now. You should have, you know, run it by us, and then we would have told him that, you know, maybe do it next week when things are a little slower.
A little slower. But here to talk about how to deal with things when it's just this parade of bad news is an old friend of the program. We are here at the M Network, and my friend Tom Mosloom is going to be our guest today. Tom was, of course, on our board of Miami Fourth Estate for a while and has moved on to greener pastures, or hopefully better pastures.
Like they're different pastures.
They're pastures.
But
we have any cow sounds? Yeah. But our guest is Tom Mosloom, and we're here to talk to you about communications. How do we, or how does what is the advice in a situation like this? And I guess you know you've been we've been talking before the show about some of these things. About how the village has been responding to all of this.
Well, I mean, maybe if they put out another RFP for a communications firm, maybe that'll help.
Oh, well, you should tell everybody that your firm competed for one on the resiliency plan and was not selected.
Yes, yes. But we did not compete for anything else. Didn't like the way they were written, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But we will get into that
in
a different...
That's business. Is the village in crisis right now?
Yes. Yeah, the village not only is in crisis, but the village is doing a rather poor job communicating in this crisis. Certainly out of the gate, they've done everything that I could imagine wrong wrong. So, you know, the gymnast...
Well, you have some examples, so why don't we show our... And now, sure. Since we're doing this on video one today, we'll start with some video examples.
Sure, the gymnast story.
Right.
The Village of Key Biscayne takes the safety and security of our residents, particularly our children, seriously. We care about our community. The police department investigates all criminal allegations and activity.
And that's the police chief.
We would like to emphasize that Key Biscayne is an extremely safe community.
All right.
Is anybody listening?
Dangerous society.
Well, this was an Instagram video.
Yeah, me neither. Right. I'm not listening. This was their statement on the gymnast coach, which never mentioned the incident, never mentioned what people are... The information people want to know is, what did you know? When did you know it? Are my kids safe? Is this guy still around? What are you doing to make sure that nothing like this ever happens again? Should we be worried? None of that was answered in any of their communications, which led to a group of individuals on the quay calling for a town hall meeting to clear the air and address everything and be transparent. I don't say this very often. I certainly haven't said it. Can't remember the last time I said it on this show. Louisa Conway is 100% correct. Her and that group, they're right. And just because it's the messenger and you don't particularly care for that messenger doesn't mean you get to tune them out. So for starters,
let's back up and remind our audience, right? She's a politically active person. She ran for council.
Correct.
She asked for, along with this group, the Key Biscayne Neighbors Association,
right.
Asked for essentially a town hall meeting.
Yeah. Now, I don't necessarily think that change.org was the way to do that. There might have been other ways, but the village should have been.
And we know that she had a meeting, in fact, with the police chief.
Right. But it was a private meeting. It wasn't a meeting that people got to have their fears and anxiety heard and answered. It wasn't a meeting where the question, how could this have happened, that was never answered. And it still hasn't been answered in a public setting. You've got an obtuse, at best, statement from the village and lots of hand-wringing. Now, I know there's a meeting coming up, but that's a month and a half too late.
And Sousa did address their concerns at the council meeting last week, and it was much more eloquent and much more involved statement than what he put on Instagram.
Still way too late. The number of people you touch in that, what you have to do in crisis communication is get out early and avoid the drip. The constant drip of information, the constant drip of criticism is going to kill you.
I'm going to have to push back on you a little bit because, you know, the petition, if you look at the number of people on this island, I'm going to get 500, 600. I mean, it was being driven by a handful of people. I mean, if you want to see real grassroots response, real concern that's not manufactured, then you go to the e-bike emergency meeting.
Well, let me respond to your pushback. I was at the Key Biscayne Film Festival, and because people know me on the Key, this was the topic of conversation. And it was not just folks who were part of the Louisa Conway crowd. It was people you
aren't
going to
use
expect.
The word latex? I'm surprised.
Well, yeah. They have a new acronym, and I haven't come up with anything funny yet. But this is not a funny topic. I mean, she's right, and they're right. And when I'm getting approached by people who I otherwise look at and go, well, they're on the other political party from that party, coming up to me and going, we need to do something, and I can't believe we haven't done anything. Yeah, I agree. The petition might not be the best way, but if you're on the Key and you understand the Key and you know the people of the Key, you know that that particular issue resonated loud and clear and made a lot of people nervous, and people wanted an answer. And they still haven't had that opportunity.
And you're seeing continuing, as John mentioned, where you're seeing continuing reports of individuals and, you know, who is this person at the Winn-Dixie and who is that person? So the community is on edge. It's palpable.
I talked to Sousa about this, and he said, you know, it's not illegal to take pictures in public. You know, people, then they have to stop these people. They have to look at their phones. And the reports are becoming, they're increasing in number.
Yeah, but there's a reason for that. It's because people are afraid. their questions as to whether or not they're safe or not, they have not been answered. Right? That those two things are linked. And if I don't believe that my village elected officials or my village police or my village manager is keeping me safe, well, things are going to change.
Well, there are fears that are rational, and then there are fears that are irrational.
Perception and reality, they're not mutually exclusive items in something like this. If I feel unsafe, I'm going to act that way, irrespective of whether I really am unsafe or not. The village has a duty to be transparent enough with its citizenship, or any organization, or any municipality, needs to be transparent to reduce those fear levels, and they're just not doing it.
What is the level of proper information when you have a legal system that prizes the idea that a person is innocent until proven guilty?
Sure.
We have one case involved an FBI investigation. That individual was arrested and is, we understand from the public record, involved in plea negotiations, but is innocent until proven guilty. In the other case that we're talking about, there have been no charges.
Right.
None.
Sure. If you knew right away why the village terminated this guy or asked for him to be terminated, wouldn't that alone, without getting into legal mumbo-jumbo, without talking about legal cases, wouldn't that alone change the way you view it? When you have the former police chief going on record saying, we've got a bad apple here, or we've got a bad seed, that should raise alarm bells. If the police chief knows it, then why is that guy still operating in your community? And what's the difference as to whether or not he's operating under the roof of a village-owned property, right, or out in the open under the air of a village-owned property? That seems to be the parsing of words that I think the residents of Key Biscayne are too smart to fall for.
You know, you're missing an element here. That it's the fear-mongering. There was
No doubt.
There is fear-mongering in the chats, misinformation in the chats, you know, that brought the village to this point.
Right, but why would they go, why would they wait this long? Instead, you could cut all the fear-mongering off if you address the situation openly, honestly, and transparently up front. You shut all of those people up.
Yeah,
if you go out right away and say, listen, this is a big deal, and we know it's a big deal. We did an investigation. People came forward. We're not going to name names. We brought all of our evidence to the state attorney's office. The state attorney said that we did not have enough to prosecute. So given that, we had no choice. Now, did we have to let this guy continue to do business on village property? Probably not. Did we have an obligation to watch him more closely? Maybe. But if you go out right away and say that, now you're not looking like you're covering things up. They look like they're covering things up. It's not whether they really are or not. I'm not saying they are.
We have to point out that we have reached out to the individual's attorney and repeatedly to talk on the record and have not gotten a response. He has denied any wrongdoing, though. It's important to.
And he has not been charged.
And he has not been charged. Right. So that's it. So we're going to continue as a news organization. We're continue to report this story.
This is less about him and more about the way the village is reacted. Communicating. Yeah. And because they were slow to act, because they thought this was no big deal, or maybe they thought if we just ignore it, it'll go away. It just kept snowballing and snowballing to this point.
All right, now
I can tell you why they took that position, and I've been told, by people in at Village Hall, that it was political. It wasn't. That's what they called it.
You don't play political with little children. You don't play politics people's lives.
Well, that's what people are doing.
But whether or not it's political doesn't mean it's unwarranted for a government to communicate. That's not a defense and not an excuse. I think that's the point you're making.
No, you got to get out.
Yeah.
You, because of the plethora of various different forms that people can communicate with one another today, whether it be social media or chats or text messaging, we are more connected as a community than ever before in the history of mankind. If the municipalities aren't taking the lead on communicating, in the absence of good information, any information will do. People want information, and that's how the chats have become the chats. And look, you could say what you want about the LaTeX group. I'm not a fan of a lot of the crap that they say in their chats. I think it's fear-mongering, to use a point. But I think this particular issue of, hey, we need information from our government, they're right.
I mean, can we just switch to some topics here? Because this one is involves, like, we just a lot of criminal and potential, one criminal case for sure, and you know, we don't really know whether a status is going on with an investigation. We've asked the chief of police whether or not the case has been reopened, the one that the Miami Herald has written about. We don't know. We've asked. We don't know. But let's move on to the other topic that kind of leads to our Annus Horribilis.
Yeah, here. But they're connected. Yeah. You know that, right? Well, these topics are connected.
That's why you're the guest.
Go ahead. I'm right. Sorry.
Yeah, so they're connected because it's not just one crisis. It's two. And we have the second one, but that has been like slow motion.
I want to play something
because
for you.
Because you were the former host of this show. So look, you were.
I want you to,
we did an episode.
I want
recall.
To play something for you. Watch
Go ahead
this.
And play it.
Who's that guy?
Let's get right into it. You had your first, well, there have actually been several community meetings, but there was a pretty intense one this week. There's another one next week on the topic of e-bikes, e-scooters. Our stand-up was there, Vicky Lopez, talking about action at the state level to change the laws.
Man, it's like a
the,
time warp.
Village passed on first reading a ban on Class 2 and Class B e-bikes, Class 2 e-bikes. That has been kind of put on hold for time being. And the recommendation of yourself and Village Manager Steve Williamson is to, as we heard on this week, increase the enforcement. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so look, you know, we all know that it was first reading, the ban did pass.
Dude, we got a lot this of was March of last year.
Right.
This is almost a year old.
I mean, if you look at our archives, how many stories we wrote, I was amazed when I was like pulling back, you know, to get information. I mean, it was like at least more than once a month often that we wrote about this issue. And every single council meeting at the end, they would put it as a, you know, an item for discussion, and they would go, oh, you know, I almost hit little Johnny the other day when he took a U-turn in the middle of Crandon or
right.
wherever.
We had a guest on this show who was an expert on e-bikes who said on the show, this is a ticking time bomb. There's going to be a tragedy. And that was a year ago. This is... Obviously, this is horrible in so many ways. What makes it most horrible, it's 100% predictable, and it was predicted.
But the question now is, for the purposes of our show today, is what does the village do? We have two comments from the meeting on the 16th. Everyone knows the Village of Key Biscayne enacted a temporary 60-day ban on e-bikes and motorized electric scooters. There is a plan in place. I can report today that the state legislature has advanced, the committee has advanced a little change in state law that would make it easier for more nuanced regulation than a total ban, but that's a debate probably for April or May. But at this meeting, the decision was to make a ban or not. It passed 7-0. Here is Mark Freed, a well-known Key Biscayne resident, speaking before a packed council chamber in favor of action, but also criticism.
My focus is on this village, on you, on the chief of police. I think you failed us. I think you failed the community, you failed the family, and you certainly failed me. You talk about Crandon Boulevard. We can't control Crandon. We control 90% of our residential area. We control every stop sign. We control every intersection. And these scooters and e-bikes have been going through them illegally for 2 years. I hope you took the time to read my email that I sent to every one of you yesterday, the chief of police, It was a recopy of the letter I sent to you February 9th, 2023, that spoke of this situation, identical other than the person and the place. So what I'd like to see is enforcement. We've learned from experience that education has not worked. We've listened to the council state that they're going to start enforcing. We're not going to let scooters on the village green. The enforcement lasted 48 hours, 72 hours. And then they were there racing back on the green. What it is, it's a lack of initiative and policy to say, we're going to enforce and we're going to upset some parents. And we're going to face the music of having people come to our office and waste our time talking about the fact that we upset their children, we upset their wife. It's not about that. It's about you set the rules, and if you can't set the rules, let's replace people at the top. Let's go ahead and take a look deeply. Am I fit to sit in these seats?
That was it was an emotional
chief of police. Is it time to change the chief of police so that we save lives on the key?
I think we need to say what happened here. A well-known resident, Megan Andrews. She was riding her bike. What was it? Woodcrest and a 12-year-old on an e-bike was coming the other way, and they collided pretty much head on, and she passed away from her injuries.
And she's 60 something riding a bicycle, and that kid's on a 20 mile an hour motorcycle. Right.
And then we should say we don't have the full.
No, we don't know,
yet.
But still, yeah. I mean,
it was ruled an accident.
Well, of course, it's an accident, and it's a horrible accident, and that poor kid has to live with this for the rest of his life, and that's equally as tragic. But the village could have done something about this a year ago. They could have put things in place to separate these vehicles from pedestrian or slower moving vehicles.
And here's the thing. At the Tuesday before the accident, there was a late night discussion. And for our listeners know this, the heavy discussions in Key Biscayne usually happen around 10 p.m.
Or even 11
in this case, really late. Most people have gone home. The council is just there. They start having these deep policy discussions. And Councilmember Vasquez basically pushed the question. He said, it's getting worse and worse. We need to enact some kind of a ban. And he's supported by a couple of council members. Councilmember Ed London says, no, I'll vote against it. And his answer was, well, that's fine. Vote against it. But we need to bring it up for an agenda. So the village attorney had been instructed at that meeting to come back with something. And again, we're, 2 years or the year of our show. They've had the ability to ban it all along.
Yes.
All along.
But the political willpower isn't there. And part of that is because of the demographics of the Key.
Right.
The people who live on Key Biscayne are incredibly educated, very wealthy. The, human being to lawyer ratio on the Key has got to be astronomical.
Human being to lawyer ratio? Come on, man.
All right, I'm getting in trouble for that. Sorry.
Yeah, Irene, I hope Irene isn't listening.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he didn't really mean that.
It's either finance or law, right?
Right. And, if you're a lawyer, your legal fees are free. So there's always going to be this pressure to say, you're not doing what I want you to do, so I'm going to sue you, or I have the political clout or the financial clout to make your life miserable. But your elected officials, particularly your staff, need to be more intrepid. I get the elected officials, well, these guys might vote me out, and they're going to run a campaign against me, and they're going to throw dark money and blah, blah, blah. But the appointed staff, the people who are not elected, they need to be more intrepid. They need to say, no, this is right and this is what we're doing, or this is wrong and we're not doing that.
They miscalculated the political landscape on this issue big time. I mean, they were looking at, oh, we're going to have all these parents complaining and, but the I called it, was no.
But it is a political environment. I mean, you already now we're seeing groups of parents saying, we want you to ease up on this ban. That's the entire motive for this legislation that Vicky Lopez, a state representative here, introduced it a year ago. It was alive for 15 days, and then she withdrew it because it had no support. And she is now up there, and it's, and the thinking is that the village will get now what it wanted, the legal ability to limit it by age. But the question is, should it do so? Here's a parent who – and the emotions involved here. Here's a parent who was speaking at that very same meeting.
I want to start. The solution is not to ban and to take the easy way out. The solution is to educate and set rules. I want my kids.
Okay, everyone. Quiet.
Okay?
Quiet. Wow.
The solution is to educate and set rules. I have three teenagers, and even though I said, you don't leave without a helmet, you have to buckle your helmet, you have to look at every intersection, I don't know if they're doing that. So if somebody stops them and gives them a fine, I will be happy to pay for the fine. I will be happy for them to take the bike away.
Please.
And I'm going to take 2 hours. Please. To keep interrupting. So I want safety for the kids. I want rules for our teenagers. This island has more kids and teenagers than adults. And not just teenagers to be educated, but also adults.
Right. And we'll see if that actually is the will of the council.
That was Carla Vigil Berger. It became quite chaotic after that, as she became defiant as she kept on being interrupted. And eventually police surrounded her and kind of walked her out. She had been talking for more than 3 minutes, but the crowd, she had made some,
I mean, the
insensitive
is,
comments, some people would say, and they were getting quite angry with her.
It's an angry mob. I mean, and the question, though, is 7-8 months from now, a year from now, is somebody going to come to the village council meeting and say, why do we still ban these things? We need to lift this ban. This is stupid.
Well, it's a 60-day ban. It can be renewed. My understanding, speaking with the village manager, is that is in fact the plan, while they work out the nuances of a permanent replacement ordinance. So it's a 60-day ban. It expires sometime in April, and the idea will be to renew it for another 60 days, but then to replace it in May with a permanent ordinance. That depends on two things. Whether it's a total ban, that's one option. The other option is it a nuanced regulation of some kind that they have been trying for this 2-year period? One of it would be, it depends on two things. One is whether or not this legislative change takes place in Tallahassee. There's some Representative Lopez thinks it will go through. That will give the village the ability to restrict by age formally. And then the other issue is authority over Crandon Boulevard, which is a county road.
Right.
And that depends on an action by the Board of County Commissioners, which is also very close to being
but
adopted.
But outside of all of this stuff and the ordinances, and I understand they're complex and I get it.
Yeah.
But a year ago, 2 years ago, the council could have put together a blue ribbon commission made up of experts and residents, people on all sides of the issue, gathering information, knowing that everybody's voice is going to be heard, and bringing recommendations to the council. And they didn't. They never have. What they always do is they always go together and cloister up in their little place, and they say, okay, these are the ordinances, and maybe this will appease them. And that's not how Key Biscayne works. Your citizens want to have a voice, and they're not getting it. So if you're in crisis, if you have crises like all the ones you guys got going on right now, the most important thing you could do is give information transparently and let people feel like they have a voice back, not like they're strong-arming you.
But okay, and I have to push back because I was at a lot of these meetings about scooters. That's not true about the other topic, but with scooters, there were many, many meetings. I think there were meetings with parents. There was meetings with Vicky Lopez.
But what happened?
We had a handful of parents showed up. Most of them supported regulation. The legal problems were described, and people said, we're going to keep working on it until we basically can craft the Key Biscayne way of solving this problem. An outright ban just had zero political appetite at the time, and what there was an appetite for was this kind of nuanced thing where there were some rules, and you know, if we gave a kid a ticket, it didn't mean he wouldn't get a learner's permit later, and all this kind of very kind of nuanced package way of doing it. That was the that's what, listening to the feedback, we reported. That's what John said. We wrote dozens of stories about this.
That's a political solution.
It was a political solution.
It's not a real solution.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm merely saying that's the record. So to say that the village didn't get in front of the issue, they did meet out. Looking at it from their point of view, this is what the community is telling us. This is what my elected officials are telling me. If there was a misjudgment, the misjudgment is that's that process, we might call it a focus group or whatever political term for determining what the will of the people really is,
was skewed,
flawed, and misread the room, is what I'm saying.
Well, not only that, they misread what their own attorney was saying. And they kept on going back to, well, we can't ban them on Crandon, so we can't ban them at all. You know, and Mayor Joe Rasko at the Tuesday.
That was extraordinary, that interchange between the attorney and the mayor.
Yeah, he's saying, well, you keep on telling me different things. And Mr. Friedman, the village attorney, says, oh, no, I've been crystal clear on this. You know, you could ban them on
everywhere, but
right,
all of the roads you own.
And here's the calculation, right? The calculation was, well, if we did that, it would just force the traffic into Crandon, and that would be dangerous. Now, I mean, I understand that statement.
Make a lane.
Well, but here's the thing, because we don't Crandon.
That's proposed.
But I don't think that was really thought through very well, because it doesn't make sense logically. The more logical reaction would be, if you create a law that says you can only drive a car on 995, no one will want a car anymore. Because it's useless.
Right.
And that's exactly what this ban has done. You can still operate scooters and e-bikes on Crandon. No one's doing it. Why? Because you can't drive them anywhere else. So it kind of didn't think through the effects of what that would be. And again, a misreading perhaps, I don't want to editorialize, of what would have happened had they attempted a ban earlier.
Well, also, I mean, a 10-year-old to 15-year-old on a vehicle that goes 25 miles an hour is a bad idea. It's a bad idea. We've talked about this ad nauseum.
Right. And now we know other municipalities are considering.
Yeah, I was at the Bal Harbour Village Council meeting.
You were there?
I was there. I texted you from there as soon as the ordinance came up. It was brought up by one of their village council members. A e-bike ban on the roads that they own, specifically on the beach.
Right.
And as a piece of new business, they voted to continue unanimously, citing what happened on Key Biscayne as the reason why they needed to do something and act quickly.
What was interesting about that is, you know, I talked to the mayor about
he's
about
a great guy, by the way.
And I go, so what is your attorney telling you? And he said, the attorney that belongs to the same law firm that Key Biscayne's village attorney does. And she came back and goes, well, it's complicated. And I said, well, you know, if they don't change state law, you're going to either have to ban them or... And he goes, I don't have a problem with, you know, crafting our own ordinance. You know, we'll forge our own way. We have a history of that.
Well, home rule is still something you can defend.
Yeah, I mean... So
I mean, you may not win.
He immediately had the political will that was absent here in Key Biscayne for more than a year.
Right, because your audience is very, very different from theirs.
It is.
Why don't we take a break right now, because we have a whole other topic here, and we've been talking for a bit, but we can get it. What is the next – how do you move forward from here, right? Maybe they should have called a crisis communications firm earlier. If you were advising them, we'll get to that interesting topic. But well, before we do that, we'll take a break.
I'm John Pisani.
I'm Tony Winton, and you're back on Antisocial with our special guest, Tom Mosloom from the M Network.
I almost said I'm Tom Mosloom. I so used to just diving
in. It's just a natural flow.
I didn't get to give the punchline to the joke today. I feel nostalgic.
Well, you know, John could text you the intro, and then you could give him a punchline. You could be a ghostwriter. We could do that.
I like that. Cicero. Okay.
Well, you know, ghostwriters get people into trouble, especially if you've got classified documents flying around.
I'm pretty sure your audience would know it's me, no matter whose voice is used.
Okay. So we were talking about these twin crises and the different ramifications, and tough if you're administration, tough if you're an elected official. Mm-hmm. Way out. What's the way to go now?
So they're late to the game because they should. Every municipality, every organization that communicates directly with the public should have a crisis communications plan in place and a crisis communication company, whether it's their marketing company or an in-house or whatever, that needs to be standing by. Because you don't get the opportunity to get three bids in the middle of a crisis or put out an RFP in the middle of the crisis. So while they weather this out, one, the most important advice I could give to your village, both elected officials
or really any village that's listening,
anybody, is you've got to communicate early in the crisis. You've got to communicate completely and transparently. You can't have the sniff of BS or like you're trying to cover something up. Even if you're not, it can't feel that way. You've got to put away government speak. You've got to talk to people where they are, how they are, and answer the questions that they want answered in the most honest way.
What about managing by Instagram?
Managing by Instagram has to be the worst idea ever. Because as a platform, it's inauthentic. I don't believe anything I see on Instagram, even my own posts. If you follow me on Instagram, you know my posts are full of crap. I am just making myself out to be just the perfect life guy. That's all crap. They need to get in front. They have other channels. They have a television station. It's a very small community. A town hall meeting in your community, that should be a regular occurrence. It's, you know, part of the village council meeting. If there's a special thing, your community is used to coming together.
Look, they just have meetings all the time on every single issue. I've never seen a government communicate through these kind of ad hoc meetings. Now, not everybody shows up.
Well, they've proven they could have a special meeting on e-bikes, didn't they?
And are condos. You telling?
Yes, but the gymnast. Now we're not going to do that. Come on.
Well, how much can they say?
It doesn't matter what they can say. They have to answer questions and answer them as honestly as they can immediately. If they say, we don't want to have a meeting because what can we say? That sounds like BS. It may be true. It may be 100% true. But you still have to stand in front of your concerned citizens, your target audience, and say the truth. This is all I can tell you. I can tell you we did a thorough investigation. We did interviews. We talked to people. We brought all our evidence to the state attorney's office. They said we didn't have enough to prosecute. The case died. That's what we can tell you. Half of what you guys are going through on the Key right now doesn't happen if they did that the minute this story breaks. On New Year's Eve, if this happened the next day, if this happened later that week, you're not here. You're not at change.org. You're not at, hey, let's recall everybody.
Who did that?
Right. Well, we have someone asking for a recall now, don't we?
I'd like to recall every single elected official in America right now, please.
Yes.
All of them. All of them must go. Hashtag recall them all. Hashtag recall them all.
Yes. Former.
I love that.
Former council candidate Andy Herrera posted. I can't find his
post.
Oh,
was it really
today.
Andy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
this should be a recall for
how
everybody.
How ironic. Well, you know, I don't know that that's the way to go, but I don't think that his anger and frustration is, it might be misguided, but it's not misplaced. If I lived on the Key, I'd be really frustrated right now.
Come on. It's one of the most affluent areas. It's one of the most safest areas in all Miami-Dade.
Yeah, but this confluence of issues that you're dealing with is unprecedented. Like, we deal with this stuff all the time across the bridge. You guys aren't used to that. If I lived in Key Biscayne, I'd be like, wait a minute, what am I paying for? Why am I paying this much? I mean, this goes back to that was the response, by the way, of your community several years ago when you guys had the car robberies. And the police are coming out saying, well, our answer to stop the car robberies is lock your cars and don't leave your keys in your car. Now, that's common sense, but I'm living on Key Biscayne for a reason. How dare you? That was the response. I don't think it was the correct response. I mean, I think that's a little too entitled, but, you know.
So to now, the issue is that the barn door, the horse has left, the barn door is open. What do you do now?
Well, like I said, they have to start communicating as openly and honestly as possible. They should apologize.
They should apologize
for not coming across as transparent as they tried to be. That's a good way of saying, I'm sorry you didn't hear me. Right? Your attorney should be okay apologizing without an apology. But you have to apologize for the things that you've done wrong, and they've done plenty wrong. They have to get out in front of it. They have to apologize. Once they do, they have to come out with concrete things and say, and then they have to follow through. It can't be, we're going to have a first reading of a bike ban a year ago, and then nothing's going
to
happen.
Then you're just giving fuel to bad actors that are on the island.
But that's...
They're bad actors for a reason. While we have problems with folks... Right? We all have a political adversary or somebody who we don't see eye to eye with.
And accountability is accountability.
There are things that they say you should listen to. Yeah. Even your opponent, part of what you guys do as journalists is you listen to people like me who you disagree with, and you could filter out what you disagree with and say, well, here's the truth in what he's saying. There's truth in what they're saying. You should listen to that.
That's my point. My point is accountability doesn't, you know, is its own thing. You should be accountable and transparent and open. And if the result is you get a black eye, then that's what happens. And you deal with it honestly and say, we'll do better next time.
Well, if I could dive, if I could get on my soapbox for a second, where we are as a country, as politically divided as we are, means that I won't listen to you because I don't like you. I don't like you, and therefore everything you say must be wrong. That's a fallacy. That's dangerous ground. Right. That's how cults start.
And it's seeped into local government. And we're part of this organization, Institute for Nonprofit News. There's a great event going on here in Miami this week, the Knight Group, and we got to meet the new president of INN. Local news is so important, but I can tell you, speaking with other organizations around the country, there's more than 400 that we're in association with. They run into the same problem. It's basically chalked to stirring the pot that you live in. But you can't be doing real news and not understand that this is that writing the news and being accountable, whether you're a news organization or a government, is part of what you have to live with and just deal with the consequences. But speaking of that, though, we had another big news. It's a bit of a transition. The former mayor, who has been on this program many times, Mike Davey, deciding to throw his hat into the ring.
Yeah, and listen carefully to what he just said, what he's going to say. It's going to sound awfully familiar to what I just said.
My core message is this. We're facing serious problems, and we need serious people to find serious solutions. I mean, that's the truth. Washington, you talk to anybody, Washington isn't working for the American people. There's too many people who are putting their extreme partisanship and, you know, their corporate donors ahead of the people they're supposed to represent. And Maria Elvira Salazar continues to be a part of that problem.
So deciding to run, there was a primary, of course, in August. He'll have to get past that. He's being the other big name in the race is a member of the Dade County School Board.
Right.
And we don't know, it's very just starting. We'll report that, of course. He's from Key Biscayne, but it's very important. A lot of issues in Congress. Ms. Salazar just endorsed Donald Trump, waited a long time before making that endorsement, but that was just recently.
Yeah, I think that Mike is going to have to conquer the name recognition issue first. He's well known in Key Biscayne, but I don't know how well known he is throughout the rest of District 27.
Right.
I don't know. Right? So he's going to have to get somebody really good on board to do some polling for him. He's going to have to get people around him that can boost that name recognition, and he's going to have to raise a ton of money. Because the RNC and the incumbent, they're going to have a lot of money, especially if they wake up one morning and go, well, District 27 is actually demographically a purple district.
Right. It's, I mean, Cook Political Report rates it as solid Republican, but it also noted politically alignment. It's dead even.
Yeah.
I think it's changed. We've had Tony's up and I have had discussions on this. I mean, they've reconfigured it under redistricting, and I think they've lost some Democrats in doing that. That's my opinion.
It might have gone from a plus one blue to zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to make
it's heavily
job,
Hispanic. I mean, it is super
Well, that's
Hispanic.
Another amazing point, right? So Mike is a generic white guy. You know, he's going to have to get through and have some breakthrough as well as a Democrat with an audience that is there's a significant Hispanic population there.
He's going to have to go on Hispanic radio.
Or have enough folks who can be proxies for him that can do so with impunity.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. At the same time, though, you have the same kind of issues that we're seeing with suburbs everywhere, where some of the positions and some of the discussions are starting to change. Will they change? And will that trend continue? I have no way of knowing. Politics changes continuously.
Will Donald Trump be a drag on the down ballot races the way he was in the last election? Is that going to happen?
Right. What was that? Is that
it sounds like drilling to me.
Okay, I see Will laughing his head off in the booth.
Will,
what is he doing? What?
Will, was that you?
Was that a sound effect?
They're outside. There's remodeling happening outside.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Will, are you sure? What did you have for lunch, Will?
Primos.
Okay. All right. I love Primos.
Well, that's awesome. That's our
best sandwiches in Miami.
We've gone really super long today. So
yeah, sorry.
We have. But we had extra clips and we had a special guest.
It was my fault. But thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
Well, and it's good to be here at the pool table.
I miss you guys.
We're just a call away,
you know.
When I have a news tip, I'll let
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes. And just to, we can, do we want to try it since Will is here? Can he do us our thing or did he bring his keyboard today?
No, keyboard.
We have no keyboard. We can
Please don't.
Yeah, so we can just say that this is, again, we depend on reader support, listener support. The website is kbindependent.org. And every gift goes to funding, continuing news coverage, all kinds of operations. It's not free. So your help helps continuing this work and continuing the news.
We need music to give by, Will. We need music to give by. I missed that segment.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Give like you've never given before.
Just kind of that low jazz.
A little smooth jazz. All right.
I mean, I could do the Don Henley. You know,
yeah, that. That's a good song.
Am I supposed to get us out of here? Because I'm the guest.
You're the guest, but we could, you know, it's whatever.
I Don Henley. I was hoping for Dirty Laundry.
Oh yes, this is a later song of his. I like it.
All right, well, you need to fade to the end card and play some music and get us out of here before this goes on too long. Before we're in copyright infringement territory.
This is John Pacenti.
I'm Tony Winton.
Hey, and I'm Tom Mosloom.
Smooth sailing, everybody.